from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is the 10 o'clock hour of the G and Ursula Show, and are we happy that you're hanging with us today. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Monday. What a gorgeous day.
Gorgeous day. I'm ready for a run. Like, I need a run. It's May. What's the date today? 15? 14?
16. It's flying on by.
Man, look, just give us a nice look. We've earned it. The first half of May has not been that great.
No. Unless you love rain.
Right.
And I know a lot of you do.
You like to cuddle.
It's just not me.
You know what I mean? You like to cuddle. The scooter like the rain.
No. He doesn't even like getting a bath either. He'd rather be smelly and dry.
Coming up at 10:33, after Heather's newscast, you guys know every Monday at 10:30, we bring on Rick Riz with the Seattle Mariners. He will join the show at 10:33.
Yes. So we always love that conversation. And thankfully, the Mariners turned it around.
Yeah, they won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Look good.
Yeah.
Look good. All right. Let's get to what's new at 10.
What's new at 10?
So if you have been looking for an apartment to rent, you know that it is difficult, especially if you need a two-bedroom apartment. And you're going to have to spend more for those as well. Apparently, there is census data that is showing that two-bedroom apartments are seeing higher rates of rent increases than others. And that can be especially true in Tacoma. And King 5's Lionel Donovan spoke with some property managers in Pierce County to find out what's happening.
Chris Dobler says that two bedrooms are a popular choice among the properties she manages for people looking to share the costs of housing. But Dobler says that property taxes play a big role in rising rents. She pointed to one of the properties she manages, which was originally meant to be affordable for working class families. It had its property taxes increase over 10% for 3 years straight. A hard pill to swallow for many.
They're paying for the property taxes increases through their rent. They're paying for increases with water, sewer, and trash utility expenses that a single family homeowner also is paying for. They're paying for those through their rent.
Lori Davenport of Tacoma Pro Bono warns that if rent increases aren't addressed, the city could become too expensive.
It becomes more expensive to live here, so people who can't afford to live here are going to move out. People who can afford the rents are going to move in, and it changes us.
So I know that this is of particular interest to you because you live in Tacoma and you've been seeing it for yourself. I mean, what are you hearing from your friends and people who live in the community?
Well, those in Tacoma, they're feeling it, but this is a local thing, right? Whether you're in Tacoma, you're in Bellevue, you're in Everett, it doesn't matter. Here in this area, rents are going straight up. But one of the things the reason why I really wanted to particularly talk about this topic is this. The reason why two bedrooms are more popular than one. And that's why, because usually if you get that one bedroom, you're pretty confident you can go ahead and you can pay your bills monthly and you'd be fine. But there's some with the ideas like, hey, I'm going to need to get the two bedrooms because I'm going to need to count on someone else getting that other room so we can share the expenses. So when you start talking about property taxes, that has gone up. And here's what's key. Not just the property taxes, which usually the renter is going to have to absorb that cost, that 10% that's going up. But also if you add in water, sewer, trash, that has gone up 6%, right? So you have that right there. So that is an increase of 16%. Ursula, how in the world is the renter? How does the landlord, the owner of the home, pass off that 16% increase and it not hurt?
Especially if you have a job and you're working for a company that thinks 2% is a good bump and that you should be happy with that. Well, I'm sorry, but it is going to feel more painful. The other thing, though, that's happening, obviously, is that people are driving further and further out. And what's happening in Tacoma is the supply is shrinking because more people have gone to Tacoma, people realizing, hey, it's kind of cool here. Mm-hmm. And the price of rent has gone up. It's harder to find places. The one thing I did hear from a real estate agent over the weekend, because we've talked about the tight housing market in terms of people buying as well, interest rates are going up.
Yes.
So a home just went up for sale across the street from us.
Okay.
And the real estate agent in there said, this is kind of an interesting time because normally this house would probably be snapped up right away or there'd be a line with multiple buyers.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're still talking about tiny homes going for over $1 million,
mm-hmm.
interest rates going up, even fewer people can jump in right now.
Right. Right.
And so Cairo 7's Ranji Sinha has some tips now from experts who are saying, well, there are things that you can do to try to get yourself into housing.
Amanda Pendleton is Zillow's home expert. She says in today's competitive rental market, negotiating will be tough, but not impossible. Now, Pendleton told me that landlords are seeing multiple applicants, so the key is to get organized and move fast. Now, here's her strategy. First, use a rent affordability calculator to be able to set your budget. Second, do your homework. Go on rental websites like Zillow or others for major market trends and search zip codes to see average rents and how many units are available. Third, take advantage of virtual tours. Narrow your options fast and speed up the application process so you can get ahead of others. Now, Pendleton says people are using these tools and applying without going to see units in person. And if you're comfortable with that, she says you should try it. Now, the spike in rental demand is only expected to increase. The biggest driver is the millennial generation. Zillow is estimating a flood of people seeking new housing options.
There's going to be an additional 6.4 million households by 2025 just as a result of this millennial generation. And that's 6.4 million households that all need a place to live. And there's simply not enough housing units for all the people who want them right now. So that's driving these really low vacancy rates and pushing up prices.
Now, other tools for negotiating, offer to sign a longer term lease and being flexible on your move-in date can also give you some leverage. Now, you may not be able to change terms of a lease by great margins, so another strategy is to negotiate any fees. And while demand is up across the board, October and November may be the best time to negotiate if you can do that. Zillow's data shows slower growth in rental prices at that time of the year.
I appreciate the tips, but I know they're driving you crazy because if you have the luxury to do all these things. Gee.
I appreciate the tips and I appreciate all of the ideas to help you find something maybe more affordable for you or help you find something with your negotiation and signing a longer lease. Here's the truth. The upfront money that most folks have to put up to get into a place, it's unreal, right? The average person you're talking about to get into, whether it's a one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment, most likely, especially right now, you're on the lower end of things, you're at least probably going to have to go at about $2,500. I'm being nice right there.
I was going to say, at least.
I'm being nice right there.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people have that money just sitting around. The part that is scary is this idea. Like people say, well, I guess if you can't afford it, you just got to move. And like that is just so it's used so much because not everybody is able to go in new areas and just be able to make new friends or that's not a skill that not everybody has that. Sometimes you want to be around your loved ones or your family or things where you're comfortable or you're next to this grocery store. Having to move way out, there's a lot of people even right now, you're not even, it's to the point where you're not even going to move out like locally, like either further south or north. You're probably going to move to another state.
Yes.
Because it is just that much better for you because what's not rising that fast are wages. Wages aren't going up like that. They're going up about 2 to 3%. Everything else here is going up crazy. One last point I want to make.
Yeah.
It still bothers me that you can be renting a place and it not count on your credit. You know what I mean? You don't get credit for that. You can go ahead and not pay your rent. That's going to be on your credit report. But you know what I mean? Like you should
but it's
be
not
able-
like you paying on a credit card bill is what you're saying.
Right.
That you get credit and it's if you're timely, even if you have a balance,
yeah.
They count it that you are on time with your payments. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, we want to talk about something really special here. And That's always when we bring Heather Bosch in. Heather, you are going to be talking about the Seattle Opera and the Pacific Northwest Ballet Orchestra. We'll be holding a benefit concert. Is that tonight?
Yes, it is tonight at 7:30.
And this is for artists who've had to flee Ukraine because of the Russian invasion.
The Ukrainian national anthem will fill Macaw Hall, followed by a variety of music.
I think it's so beautiful concert. So different music, different pieces from different. It will be from ballet, it's folk music, classical music.
Mezzo-soprano Olga Sinyakova is in Seattle performing The Marriage of Figaro. At the benefit concert, the Ukrainian native will sing selections from Strauss, which she declined to sing to me unaccompanied.
Oh, it's difficult to sing Strauss without...
But she did treat me to a little Saint-Saëns.
This aria, Mon Coeur, if you know. Mon Coeur s'ouvre ta voix comme s'ouvre. It's very famous, this one.
Beautiful. Does it have a personal meaning?
Really, this aria that changed my life to be an international singer.
Now, the aria that put her on the world stage takes new significance as she performs it in a concert to benefit artists in Ukraine, even as she worries about her own parents still there.
I'm scared because in the night, a lot of times, they have this sirens.
Air raid sirens that send her parents and other Ukrainians scrambling into shelters as bombs and guns ravage the country.
I'm still nervous. I'm still thinking all time. It's going. It's like nonstop. I'm thinking about parents and what happens in Ukraine.
Already performing internationally when Russia invaded, she says the war at first left her petrified.
But I was like frozen 1 week without any emotion because I was thinking, how could I help? Being singer, how could I help my country?
She says it was during a performance of Verdi's Requiem that she was reminded of what so many artists innately know.
And there I felt the power and meaning of art, of singing, of the beauty.
It's why Ukrainian fighters holed up defiantly inside a steel mill are heard singing patriotic songs, and why a group of soldiers stand reverently as one picks up a violin and plays the national anthem. It's why Olga wants to make sure Ukrainian artists can continue to bring their messages to the world as musicians here in Seattle send out their own.
The main message that I would like to send to them that it's love. It's first of all, it's to love each other.
Heather Bosch, Cairo News Radio.
This beautiful message.
Beautiful. Absolutely well done. Heather, this is now day 82 of the war going on over there with Russia invading Ukraine. This is not the first story that you've been able to do in covering this. What are you continuing to learn by doing these stories and being over there, making these connections and having these discussions with folks over there?
The importance of why so many people feel they need to be involved. Mm-hmm. When she talks about I'm being a singer, and I thought, what could I do? But then I remembered hearing that song in the bunker in the steel mill, and I remember the violin and the soldiers. As soon as they saw this fella pick up his violin, they started popping up, standing up, in respect. So it comes from all sides. You know, there are people who can fight, who are trying to fight. There are also people who can send that message of love, as Olga said, and that's what she's trying to do.
One of the things that I know that you've covered a lot of different stories, and you as well, Ursula, but these feel-good stories, even though this story is with a bad situation going
it's
on.
It's heavy. You know, it's a heavy story.
Definitely heavy to
but
do that.
It's an example of the human spirit.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
It just shows how also art plays such a big role in the healing?
It really does, in bringing people together, in helping them fight if they need to fight, in healing, as you've said. It permeates all of us. Because at first blush, you go, why raise money for artists? You know, do we need to pay the ballerina on the toe shoes? But yeah, it's ingrained in us for all those reasons.
And again, how can we support them?
They are performing tonight at McCall Hall. I believe they're taking donations. So if you cannot make the concert and just want to make a donation, I'm sure they would find a way to help you.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. Appreciate it. I've only been to an opera one time. I told you that, right?
I know. I've only been maybe three times. And each and every single time. Okay, Heather, you're still in here. You got to help us.
Yes.
Each and every time. And I love music. You know,
right,
I
right.
love music. And I love opera singing. I can never follow the story. I have to read the program and really get into
it
and say, what?
Also, I mean, I think everybody does that.
What can you help me with? I want to go back. What can you help me with to be better focused?
All right. I would contact Seattle Opera. Mm. And I would ask them what's kind of a fun, friendly one to go. I would not start with Wagner. I would go to Mozart, okay. perhaps, or Puccini, something a little lighter.
A little more accessible.
Yes, and then you can read through, you know, the surprises in the program, but they also now run the translation for what they're saying.
Yeah.
Ah,
and some of these, especially some of the younger artists, hats off, you can tell what it is, even if you don't understand the language immediately. Yeah. They're so good at acting, and they're costumes and the sets are amazing.
That
so you
is
go
true.
For that whole encompassing experience.
And then people get all dressed up
That's
to go to the opera.
Fun.
It is really fun.
But do something, you know, do something accessible first.
It's kind of like when I bring folks to go have sushi with me for the first time.
Yes.
You start them off on that California roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Or maybe the
deep
shrimp
fried.
Tempura
no, no,
roll.
Deep fried too.
Yes.
You know, fool them a little bit.
Yeah. And then get Mozart is your California roll.
There you go. Thank you so much, Heather. Hey, coming up next, Rick Riz. He's going to join the show. We can't wait to talk about what's going on with those Seattle Mariners. This is Gene Urso.
Show with G.N. Ursula.
Holy smokes. Holy smokes.
The intro always gets me in a great mood, and I'm happy to say we are starting this week with the Mariners earning their first road series win of the season, and Rick Riz joins us once again. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Ursula. Good morning, Gene. How are you guys doing, thankful?
Good. Trying to sound really enthusiastic because I was worried about our Mariners. So let's just first of all talk about the how they handed the Mets their first series loss of the year, winning two of three games this weekend. How important is that at this juncture?
Oh, Ursula and G, it's huge at this point in the season because the Mariners have been struggling after the quick start. And to win in that atmosphere was like a playoff atmosphere at Citi Field. You're playing one of the best teams in the National League before a big crowd. And you got that relationship, that love-hate relationship going on between the Mets fans and Jesse Winker going back to 3 years when he was with Cincinnati. And then you had the big three-run lead going to the bottom of the ninth. And then the Mets get two runs and they get runners on at second and third with only one out. And Diego Castillo comes in, guys, and with the game on the line, you know, after struggling, really struggling his previous three outings, Scott Service had a lot of faith to put him into that situation. Strikes out Starling Marte on three sliders on three pitches, intentionally walking the door, loading the bases now to face the National League's leading home run hitter and leading RBI hitter in Pete Alonso. And he goes the 3-2 and he strikes him out on a slider. He threw nothing but sliders on a check swing slider. That's the final out of the game. All the Mets needed was a sacrifice fly or a base hit to win that game. And the Mariners, they were bending a little bit, but they didn't break. But I was so impressed and so proud of what Diego Castillo did. He was so tough his previous three outings. But I'm telling you, he needed two strikeouts in order for the Mariners to win that ball game, and he got it throwing nothing but sliders. And Jesse Winker walked off the field along with Julio Rodriguez out there waving to the fans. And it was just a fun game and a huge win for this ball club.
Speaking of Julio Rodriguez, how big of a weekend was this for him, and did he need that for his confidence going forward?
Oh, gee. I mean, he had a huge game. He was 4 for 4. He was on base 5 times. Came to the ball game hitting .240 after the slow start. The first couple of weeks of the season, his average was under .200. But now over the last 22 games, he's hitting about .315. And so it just, the more you play and the more you figure things out and you're starting to get those base hits, and the reason he's getting those base hits, besides that laser of a home run he hit yesterday, second at the big leagues, it was guesstimated 114 miles an hour off the bat. You know, he had 2 singles in the right field. And when you're using foul line to foul line, you're that big and that strong, you know, you have a chance to hit 300 in this league. Not going to say he's going to do it. Hopefully he will, and I think he can. But when you use foul line to foul line that, like that, with that kind of power, he's going to be hitting home runs the other way as well. So his confidence is just growing with each and every at-bat and each and every game. He was incredible last year. And the other thing, too, that stands out is the entire game that he has. You know, he's been doing a great job out in center field. He's throwing to the right base. He's making strong, accurate throws, and he's stealing bases. There's a big kid. You know, he's about 6'4", 6'5", and he leads the American League in steals with 10. So I'm smiling right now every time I talk about Julio Rodriguez. He's a great kid on top of all of that as well.
Rick, before these wins, the end of April and the beginning of May were not kind for our Seattle Mariners. They had a 4-12 record in the 16 games before the series in New York. What happened, and what did you see that was different maybe this time around versus what happens with other slumps?
Yeah, I think for a lot of changes that Jerry made, and you got new guys on your ball club. Jesse Winker got off to a slow start, but now he's working on a 7 or 8 game hitting streak right now. Julio got off to the slow start, and all young players do, and now look what he's doing. Adam Frazier got off to a slow start. Here's a guy that hit .324 last year, was an all-star, and now he gets going. I think it's just a number of things. You know, when I look at a short spring. They have only 3 weeks of spring training, you know, and you need a little bit longer than that to get ready because of, you know, what happened and everything. It was only 3 weeks of spring training. Then you start off with the bitter cold and snow in Minnesota, the cold and the rain in Chicago. You come home and it's still chilly. So, you know, as the weather warms up, the bats warm up. But the pitching, I think, is going to be outstanding. You know, Logan Gilbert has been one of the best pitchers in the American League. We've seen a rookie now, George Kirby, get off to a really good start. He deserved a better fate a couple of days ago. In his second major league start, he was outstanding in his debut at home. 6 scoreless innings, no walks, and he struck out 7. But, Ursula, you're going to see the ball club get going as the weather warms up. Here comes the bats. And I think, you know, Marco Gonzalez is going to have a big year along with Flexen and Robbie Ray, the American League Cy Young Award winner. Sometimes it just takes a little while to get the blood going and, you know, the bats going with the pitching all together with the defense. They're going to do a better job of catching the ball. So I think, you know, add those things up and you're going to see a much better result from here on out.
I love the optimism. Okay, I just see on ESPN they're saying that a couple of the Seattle Mariner players are going to be missing the Blue Jays series in Toronto because of the COVID vaccine. And I know that players and broadcasters and staff also were hit kind of badly by the virus. Can you talk about that, like how that has impacted the team?
Yeah, that's one thing, too, about the early start here, Ursula. We lost Machaniger, you know, early in the season with the injury now. And, you know, he's one of the better ball players, one of the better hitters in the American League. We got hit hard in the radio booth. You know, Gary Hill was down, and Shannon Dreher, Dave Sims, and myself. And man, that was 10 long days. I was having to stay home. I finally joined the ball club in Miami a couple of trips, the last trip. And the Mariners lost 3 players to COVID. Scott Service was down, 2 coaches, a number of people in support group, people in the front office. So it was very, very difficult to battle through that. So that was another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, taking a look at that record at that point, you're missing 3 really good players in Haniger and Paul Sewald. And there was one other that we lost, you know, I think it was Torrens, you know, to the COVID list. So that's tough when you lose those bats and a great reliever like Paul Sewald has done. But, yeah, a couple of guys couldn't get into Canada. So I know that we have Ronis Elias here who's coming back from injury, and it's great to have him here. So it's going to be interesting to see what the roster looks like here in Toronto tonight.
Well, we'll continue rooting for them, and we will hope that this winning streak continues, and we'll have more positive stuff to talk about next week, Rick.
Oh, Ursula and G, it's going to be a fun series here in Toronto. We've got a good matchup tonight. Chris Flexing going to the Mariners, and the Mariners are going to go against Yusei Kikuchi here in the opening game of this three-game series. Yusei did a nice job for the Mariners last year, was very good in the first half, was an all-star, struggled in the second half. He's 1-1 with the Blue Jays this year. So tune in tonight because, you know, you have momentum after a great win like the Mariners had yesterday in New York against the Mets. So I'm looking for a good ball game this evening.
Love it. That's Samore.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, where's the song?
Turn Here it is.
Have a good one, Rick. Have a good one in Toronto.
All right,
talk
guys.
Soon.
All right. All right. See you next week.
All right. Hey, coming up in scenarios, find out what happens when someone writes in to say he doesn't know what to call her. Girlfriend, partner, significant other. Either way, he keeps getting in trouble. We'll do that next. It's Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Agree to Disagree comes up next at 11 o'clock. And you guys know we always have a bunch of fun during that time. One of the topics is the restaurant Arby's. So that'll let you know what we're talking about. We'll be talking about Arby's.
Okay. Yeah, we have to sell that one a little more.
What?
It's not just talking about the restaurant Arby's, but it's in the news.
Yeah.
Something absolutely. And I feel horrible for Arby's because you know I love Arby's. But something happened that we found out only because there was a child porn investigation.
It's a loaded story.
You have to hear this story because you won't believe it, and it's going to make you question a few things.
Well, Ursula, the reason why I didn't want to get into that part of it, because it's Agree to Disagree, and it's kind of a lighter segment. And so if I bring that up, people are like, oh, I don't want to listen at 11.
I know. Right. I'm just trying to help with it.
But you tease Arby's. That very well. All right, let's get to scenarios. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario? I'm 42 years old, that is, and in a new relationship with a 33-year-old woman. She's terrific, and things have been going well, but we're having a fight over how I introduce her. I honestly have no idea how to refer to her. Calling her my girlfriend seems weird. I mean, I'm not 20. I'm 42. I thought about introducing her as my partner, but we haven't really gone that far in our relationship. Significant other, main squeeze, current flame, lover, nah, none of them fit. So I've been introducing her as my friend blank. I don't want to say her name. And she hates it. She says it doesn't honor our relationship or take her seriously enough. She calls me her boyfriend. I'm okay with that, I guess, but she's a girl, and I'm trying to be and do this the right way. Something about the whole this is my girlfriend doesn't sit well with me because I'm 42. 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up to bat first.
That sounds like someone who's very literal when it comes to life. It doesn't sound right because he's 42 and she's in her 30s, and the word girl instead of woman friend.
I don't disagree with him.
Okay,
I don't disagree with it.
Okay.
Just say it to my girlfriend.
Why? What's the issue with saying it's your girlfriend, your partner? How about you just
I think partner's cool.
How about you just introduce her as a by her name?
Well,
all problems
solved.
Well,
hold on.
This is
it's not that easy. A lot of folks get mad. Oh, is there a reason why you didn't put me, you know, any term there? Hey, hi, this is Lisa. Let's just give a random name. Hi, this is Lisa.
Yeah, so
you know,
and then
this is Lisa, this is so and so.
Yeah, and when you have a conversation, if it's someone who you want to know what's in your, you know, what's going on in your business, then you explain, yeah, we've been dating for the last 6 months. So they will come up with a name for themselves, girlfriend, boo, whatever it is. But I just don't think he's that into her because she is saying, I want to be called, you're my boyfriend, and I would like to be called your girlfriend, or give me some kind of
title
when it comes to this, and this is what I feel is appropriate. And he's saying, I'm not ready for that. He brought up the age a couple of times, so it's like, it sounds like he's past that. He's past that point of where he can call someone a girlfriend. You said you agree with him. How do you agree?
I didn't call Lillian girlfriend.
What'd you call it?
I say if I it was in
your boo.
No. A partner. I think I personally believe partner is the most safest way. But the girlfriend, I didn't like girlfriend.
He had an issue with partner because it sounded too serious.
He did.
Sounds like he just has a commitment problem.
But you can't put that. He's basically saying he doesn't feel comfortable because of the partner. He said the relationship hasn't gone that far yet. So let's just
call her by her name. Okay, and then
by the way,
if I'm the woman and he's really having issues like this and is bothering me, I'm out. I'm sorry, but seriously, life is too short, and if you're quibbling over what you're going to call each other, you're not that important in that person's life.
Chris Martin is here today, in for Chef. Chris, we always love what you have to say. What do you have to say, Chris?
My girlfriend, a long-term girlfriend, has a problem with this, too. We were just talking about this weekend, yesterday.
Oh, wait!
Oh, really?
We should have gone to you sooner.
But I like saying girlfriend. You know some people get married and they say, my wife, they say it kind of smugly and it's just gross? I think that's gross. My wife, my husband. It's like, oh, brother. Okay, whatever. I like girlfriend, but just go with partner and call it good.
Okay, wait. I want to dig a little deeper. So what was the issue then?
She thinks that she feels weird calling me her boyfriend after years and years of going out, too, when people ask something about...
Okay, again, how long you guys been together?
It's been a long time. It's been years and years.
Like a decade?
Yeah.
Oh!
That's a partner.
Yeah, that's a partner.
Yes.
I think she wants it to be wife.
Is she listening right now?
No.
Oh, good.
She's working.
Okay. Right. Wait.
Why does that sound better?
I want to dig just a little deeper. This could be a scenario in the future.
Uh-huh.
Is there a reluctance to make it wife and husband?
I just don't like the official... I don't like the whole thing about people... I know so many people that get married, and they're married 5 years. I have so many friends that they're on their third marriage. It's like, so what did that mean?
I know, and here you are.
Yeah,
don't rock the boat.
I don't disagree with you either.
Yeah.
It's when it's official, it gets all weird.
Says the man who's getting married.
Nick, what do you call your significant other?
Doesn't matter to me, but I do call my lady friend, my girlfriend, Jenny, over in Bellevue. I'm actually going to see her for lunch later today. But in my opinion, I think over time, 6 month frame, there should be a point where if you guys are proud of each other in a good relationship, you should be proud of being with each other and acknowledging each other. Just go ahead and call a girlfriend. I've been on this bad boy for a while too, man.
Ooh, I like it.
Little Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Be proud of the one you're with, I'll tell you what.
All right, coming up next in Agree to Disagree, if Ursula, the way she sold this story about Arby's and why you might not or may choose to eat at Arby's, oh boy.
No, I still love Arby's. I think it's unfair to Arby's.
Yeah, it is. Arby's and porn in the same sentence. Gene Ursula.